Welcome, everyone. I'm Mike.
I'm Ruben.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Michelle, and you're listening to the Four True Crime Idiots podcast.
And this is part two of our season finale, the Kitty Cabin Murders. Where did we leave off last week?
We left on the autopsies.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so now it's on to the initial investigation.
Sheila and the Sebo family, with whom Sheila has spent the night in the neighboring home, heard no commotion during the night. A couple living in the nearby house, number 16, was awakened at 1:15 a.m. by what sounded like muffled screaming.
So people did hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, but they just thought, I don't know. Muffled. What screaming. Would you do if you heard screaming muffled?
Well, see, that's like, what I'm saying.
Try to be in their position, right?
Yeah. Well, see, that's what I'm saying. It's kind of like, you want to get involved.
Yeah.
But then you don't know if, like, if they're just, like, horsing around, playing around, and yeah. She just so happened to just, like, you know. That's why she screamed. You know, I tried to get at, right? So it's probably why they just didn't know what to do. They probably didn't know where it was coming from.
True.
It was late at night.
That and I wonder if they even peeked outside.
Well, how far were they to 16 of them?
Did they?
I don't know.
Because it said nearby.
Yep.
But the neighbors right next to them didn't hear anything.
Nope. Because they were number 16, right?
Yeah.
And they were number 28.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're like numerically numbered, like in order.
Probably.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like in front of each other.
But what? Is there like a picture of how the cabins are situated?
I haven't seen a picture of the area.
Like to see how the whole thing is, right?
Yeah.
Let me Google to see if it.
That's a good question.
Yeah, because I know, like, over there at the old house, I lived behind those apartments.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I remember one day I was coming home from going out, I guess, because it was late, I remember.
Yeah.
And I heard, a little girl screaming on that side. I heard it, like, more than one time.
Yeah.
But at that time, you don't, you know, you're just like, okay, well.
What do I do?
I'm going to call the cops. Like, I heard a little girl scream in the apartments over there. They're just gonna be like, which apartment? I don't know. True. I mean, then pretty sure they're not going to send a cop over there and knock on every door.
True.
So this is the cabin, 28. See how it is?
Yeah.
It's just kind of like that. Well, but you see how...
I've seen another picture where it's like a two-story, too.
A two-story one?
Yeah.
So it's this one?
Let me see. That's what I've seen.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then how can the neighbors downstairs not hear anything?
But is it like one house?
Well, that's the thing, though, because if this is the resort, but that's the cabin, though, look, because it says 28 on there.
Oh.
Cabin 28.
Yeah.
You see?
Maybe it's like a,
But look how close the house.
So they are pretty close,
see? And then there's like, look, oh, it's behind that.
Oh.
Look, that's it. And then look.
So it's higher, maybe it's on a hill?
Yeah, like, that's the cabin, right? Yeah. That's one cabin, but cabin 28, her thing was right here behind it.
Yeah, I think it was just one building, I think.
It's just one whole building and that connects all the way in the back over here?
Well, that looks like a small area.
There's that two-story one that you're talking about?
Yeah, it's in the back.
Okay, yeah, but her cabin is right behind that. That's her cabin, right there.
Well, I've never seen it.
Built to the hills?
That's the first time. Maybe so. I think.
Murder squad. Hold on.
I think 28. I think it's just one building.
Hold on. Let me go again because you're making me mad.
I think it's one building. Like, I've only seen that. We showed you. I think
so maybe
it was
that's like the back side of it?
I think so.
Okay. So was she downstairs or upstairs?
I don't know. Either way,
she had a neighbor either up or downstairs and.
I think the whole family lived in that building.
So she was responsible for the up and downstairs?
I think so.
So she had the
she had the whole like
the whole cabin 28 to herself then.
I think so with her kids.
Was it like two ways to get inside the thing or was it?
Well, maybe there's a back door and a front door.
Wait.
Yeah.
Because on the staircase you can see a door and there's a door right there.
There's two doors too.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to see, is it meant for two families to live in two separate things, or is it meant for, like, one family and just have that whole...
I don't know.
Maybe? I wonder if...
I'm assuming there was just one family in there.
Yeah, that's what I was...
So she didn't have, like, any neighbors?
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure if there was a neighbor that close,
she would have heard
they
it.
Would have heard something. Yeah, I think so.
But the other buildings were right close, too.
Yep. Were they occupied?
Number 16 was. No, but that's what they were saying, though, because they were. Oh. So no one understood exactly why no one heard anything. Yeah. Someone did.
Yeah.
But I guess they didn't know where it was coming from.
True.
But what kind of town was it, though? Was it like one of those towns where you kind of have to survive on your own because you can't trust absolutely no one in there? You know what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah. I'm not even sure.
Okay, so she was... Okay, because then... Because they did have a back door then to get into the thing then.
Yeah.
So, did they go in through the back door?
I don't know.
Because that's the door that... That's the door that it looks like when they're... And they're investigating and they have the door open.
Mm-hmm.
It's facing like the... Where the cabin I was showing you.
I see.
That side of it.
Yeah, the back side.
So I'm wondering if there's two ways to get in there. Probably. A back way and a front way. You know what I'm trying to get at?
Probably.
So, real sneaky. Everyone probably does it from the back because no one's really going to see anyone coming from the back.
True.
That's true. Because I don't think there was any signs of break-in or anything.
See? And
that was a... Sorry.
It's good.
No, go ahead.
I'm just saying, like, and if it is that... smart guy and his buddy, then they had a way to get in there without anyone seeing that, you know, it was them going.
Maybe Justin let him in.
Maybe she did because she was like...
Maybe Justin, his son.
Maybe he was going to go pick up Justin.
True. Okay, and they heard that at 1:15, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tina's jacket, shoes, and a toolbox containing various tools were missing from the house, which showed no indication of forced entry.
Oh, so... So there wasn't a forced entry.
Mm-mm.
So they were let in.
Yeah. That's why everyone's saying that she had to have known them because there was no sign of kind of force. Is there a possibility that maybe someone broke into the house while they were out and about and hid? I didn't know she had all of that house occupied. I thought she just had some...
Like a little space.
Because I had thought it was just like either... Like a downstairs, upstairs apartment. Yeah. So I thought she was on either one.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if she had someone upstairs, if she was downstairs, they didn't hear anything or, you know, vice versa. So maybe someone new found a way to break in. Maybe they broke in through the front side. They just kind of waited.
Or maybe she knocked. Or maybe they, no, not she. Maybe they knocked. And she opened the door.
Made their way in.
Yeah.
That's why I hate when people knock when I'm not expecting anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I look out the window. And sometimes if I don't know them, I don't answer their door. If I'm not expecting anyone, I don't answer their door.
What if it's like $1 million you win?
Mm.
Like a sweepstakes. Like a sweepstakes. What's it called? Sweepstakes.
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 What?
I couldn't say sweepstakes.
Pretty sure they would have something on the car.
Yeah, I know. Something.
You won $1 million.
No, when I checked the window to see who it was, did I see the balloons and that big old check in all over the door. Till then, I like to peep to the people. And I'm all like, nope, I don't know.
Sit there and watch them knock.
Yeah, I do that until they keep knocking. I'm all like, that's why I kind of want to invest in that ring.
The ring, yeah.
So they can't, so I can be like, or maybe, maybe she thought it was her son knocking on the door. And that's why she opened it.
Yeah.
Maybe she had it locked and she was like, oh, he's home already. Maybe like you said, since the guy's son was spending the night, maybe he used that as an excuse to go over there.
To say something.
Oh, I forgot to give him something, or I just came to make sure he's doing okay. Because according to reports, she was kind of close to the wife and him, right?
Because
they had gone out.
Mostly her.
Mostly the wife.
Yeah.
So, scary. You can't trust nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Not these days.
Not now, especially these days.
Yeah.
The house's telephone had been taken off the hook and the cord cut from the outlet, and the drapes were closed. Martin Smart, a neighbor and main suspect, claimed that a claw hammer had inexplicably gone missing from his home.
Say, for instance, it was him, right?
Okay.
Why would you tell the cops you were missing the hammer?
But see,
that's what you used. Never see, smart.
I know. Okay, so...
Smart's not smart.
Smart's not very smart.
Yeah.
Obviously. Okay, so they disconnected the phone?
The cord, yeah.
I mean, just cut the cord. Why you have to unhook the phone if you're going to cut the cord? It's not very smart.
Nope.
But did they use the cord of the phone on any of the...
Maybe to...
Oh, maybe he did that too. Just strangled
The boy, right?
The boy, remember?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why, because remember, our theory was when he used the knife, he couldn't do it because it was bent.
But he strangled him?
But he strangled him, so maybe that's what he
used. Or they wouldn't call anyone?
Yeah. Exactly. Maybe in case one of them survived. Let me go check in those images again because he said that they closed the drapes. Let's see where the windows were at. Hold on. I think they might have gone through the back door.
So they might have gone to the back?
Yeah, because look. Okay, so here's the images of the back, right?
So that's the back.
That's the back.
Okay.
Now, let me go back and look in the crime scene. See the door? It matches the back.
Okay.
Okay, but there's also an image of the cops. See? The outside?
Yeah.
So I think they did come through the back. So I think their way of coming in and out was through the back and not so much the front.
Yeah. Or maybe that is the front.
So, and then the back part.
Yeah, maybe that's the front.
That's the front?
Yeah.
So they closed the... But possibly. I don't know, though, because look at the first image, though. Oh, yeah, there's the window right there. They just covered it. Oh, look, here's a little bit more of an area, better area on how it's situated. So, you know what, though? Maybe since it's... I don't know.
But like I said, that wasn't very smart.
Oh, look, here's a better image.
Yeah.
So, maybe you're right. Maybe that is different.
Okay.
Plumas County Sheriff Sylvester Thomas, who presided over the case, later stated that Martin had provided endless clues in the case that seemed to throw the suspicion away from him. He was doing everything
else.
I was missing a claw hammer.
That was stupid.
That wasn't me. And then what
he was giving him clues?
I was at home the whole time. That's my wife. I never left once. He was right saying shit. Oh my god.
That's funny.
What a guy.
I know.
In addition to interviewing the Smarts, detectives interviewed numerous other locals and neighbors. Several, including members of the Seabolt family, recall seeing a green van parked at the Sharps' house around 9 p.m.
So the Seabolts saw a green van.
Yeah.
Around 9 p.m.
Around... See? Okay. Then maybe the guys got a ride from someone in a green van.
That's true.
And so when maybe he was forced, to knock on the door, and maybe the door was locked, and he just kind of like...
True. Yeah, just walked in.
Maybe thinking like, well, if I knock, me and Dana can get in real quick before this guy, you know.
But it also depends on what time they came back home.
And that's the thing, though, because, you said that from where him and Dana were going was like 30 minutes away, right? Because they were going back to where the
awesome, like,
uncle was living at.
Like around, I think it's like from here to San Miguel.
So like 10 minutes?
Yeah.
But if you're walking a little bit longer than that.
Yeah.
Right,
oh, yeah, yeah.
So maybe they were hitching a ride back and the green van pulled over, gave him a ride. And
that's true.
He, maybe the guy was all like, well, I need to use your restroom, can I? And everything went to shit. But then again, you have this fool over here. All I know, claw hammer was missing from my toolbox.
They find it later on, so like, come on.
I was also home the whole night. That's my wife.
It wasn't me.
I saw someone else over there.
Yes, I agree.
Do it.
But somehow he knew that next morning his hammer was already missing.
Right.
But yeah, but because one of them got beaten in the head, right? Or they all did?
I think they might have been.
I think they all did.
They all got beaten, yeah. See? How does the claw hammer look like anyway?
Isn't that the one with the... Like a regular hammer, isn't it?
Is it a
bigger version of a hammer?
Ah.
Big hammer.
It's cool.
Claw hammer.
Claw hammer is just like a regular hammer. It has like a thing in the back so you can take out the nails.
Oh, and one hammer, because there's two don't they all have that?
Well, there's some that don't
right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's just like a hammer.
Just bigger?
No, it's just like a
hammer. No, it's just a hammer with the two claw things in the back.
Claw hammer.
Yeah. It's just take the nails off.
What time did the girl get home? Remember when the other one left the other one? She came home at 9:30?
Who?
Tina. Remember she came back.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, yeah. Well, she came back at 9:30. She didn't see the green van parked there then?
Oh, maybe she did, but
maybe they were already inside?
Yeah.
Oh.
Or maybe she walked in on it.
See, I'm thinking I'm thinking more lines where Ben's thinking. I think he's right where I think it was meant for Sue. And I think her, John, and Dana all walked in either right when it was happening or right when it was already done.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know.
Maybe the green van was just that Martin Smart's friend.
Car.
Yeah.
Maybe they were waiting for her.
True.
Oh, no, that I was like more where I'm agreeing more where what Ben was saying about they were there for her.
Oh.
Like, I feel like the murder was meant for her.
Yeah.
And the kids just so happened to walk in either right when it was happening or right when everything was done. Like, right when it just finished. Like, I feel like maybe that's what happened. Like, they walked in into witnessing it or witnessing them already finish
what they were doing. Yeah.
And that's how they you know.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, even if it's just one or two person and there's three other people there, how are you going to... So I'm wondering if Dana and John, right? Is that walked in and saw it happening or had seen what it was already done and they got them and Tina just so happened to like was just kind of like seeing it in the silence but not knowing, you know, she was there till like after the fact.
True.
That and I feel that's why no one knew she was missing until like the next day. Because if the sister went to go spend the night, so she's just assuming well, she has to be upstairs.
And the kids in the room.
Yeah, all the kids are upstairs. You know, when she walked in, she just saw that. So she probably assumed. And when she saw that Tina didn't show up, when they were just like, well, where's Tina? Because she went back home also.
Yeah.
Unless they caught Tina before she went home, went to go do what they got to do. And that's when John and Dana walked in.
True. It could possibly be a...
You know what I'm trying to get at? And that's why she was found, like, weeks later, right? Like, a couple of weeks later?
In a different county?
Yeah.
Yeah. Justin gave conflicting stories of the evening, including that he had dream details of the murders, though he later claimed to have actually witnessed them.
So we were reading an article by Sue Coletta, and she's from Inside the Mind of a Crime Writer. Okay. And in it, she's describing the dream that Justin had about the night of the murder.
Oh.
Right? Yeah. So I'm not going to go word for word, but in general, he was just describing
his dream
to Sheriff Doug Thomas. It starts off by saying that he's on a boat and that he's a passenger on there and that he's seen someone getting thrown out and a fight was breaking out. He described the guy as having long black hair, short over the ear, and it's combed back, and he had black glasses with a gold ring and had a gold frames. And the lenses were black and brown. So I'm guessing, like, well, back in the day, those are the way the glasses were, so right? Basically, tinted, like, they were, like, tinted with that black and brown. And they had all, like, you know, you look very fancy. And,
No, they weren't.
I know. They look like child molesters.
People wore that.
Nasty looking glasses. I look at those, and I'm all like, ew. And he said that he had a hammer in his left hand, but that the handle was wooden, had a point, and the hammer part had a point at the end of it. So, if you look back to what we were discussing about Mr. Martin Smart missing a claw hammer.
His claw
hammer was missing in his toolbox, so no one was even asking about it. I'm sure. And then it also in the dream that he saw Johnny and Dana fighting with the man. And that Dana was drunk or that he was walking weird to make him look like he was drunk.
Yeah.
So maybe when he got hit in the head, it kind of disoriented him. And maybe that's what he was seeing. Maybe they weren't drinking.
Yeah.
But maybe he was just hurt and he was just kind of like wobbly.
Yep.
And in the dream, he said that a crowd was gathering and that Johnny was thrown overboard along with Dana and that the man had run away. But there was a body there on the boat of the boat. And he was saying that was the mom, right?
Yeah.
And that she had, her hair was black and she had a sheet over her. And that he went to go check and that she saw where she was cut from the chest. And that he knows that everyone was starting to gather around her and that they started to go to shore.
Mm.
Okay, that's...
That was his dream?
That was his dream. But it's a lot of detail, so I don't know how far. Well, see, that's the thing, though.
If he saw it, why would he go through all that just to say it was a dream?
It's well, because how old was he when he was staying over there? That was the thing.
True.
I mean, you know, I'm trying to get it off.
I couldn't even think about that. All that.
Well, I mean, boat stuff. Well, because the thing of it is, because we do know that, well, obviously it wasn't done on a boat.
Yeah.
Obviously, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But maybe he did witness it, but in his dream state.
True.
He's just trying to comprehend exactly what he saw. So yeah. Maybe in his dream, he keeps seeing, maybe he's seeing the actual murder that was happening.
Yeah.
But, for some reason, he's just dreaming about boats in the sea and all that. Just,
true.
Who knows how people dream.
Yeah.
But if he's kind of already saying about the hammer.
Yeah.
Then that kind of points to his dad.
Because doesn't it say, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, and then his dad's already saying about how his hammer's missing.
Dumbass.
I know. So, but then again, I don't know if Justin was around when he heard his dad having that interview.
Yeah.
Or he actually seen it. Because we don't know.
That's true.
Because we don't know if Dana and Johnny were out there drinking to begin with.
Oh. You might have to think they probably might have, maybe.
Maybe, but to the point where they're walking in all weird.
Oh, yeah. That's true. I don't know.
Cause, well, maybe. And maybe that's why they got a ride home. Who knows? They went to go visit friends over there in Quincy, right?
Yeah.
So, we all know how it is when you're teenagers. Yeah. Somehow one of us wind up getting...
But drunk.
You know, drunk, or they have beer, or they have whatever, so... Mm-hmm. And he just keeps describing...
Doesn't he tell the polygraph guy?
Okay, yeah. It says here that he tells the polygraph examiner, Sam Lester, that he did not have a dream and that he witnessed the murdering taking place.
So he wasn't a dream.
No. Okay, this is all his dream. This is his dream, right?
Yes.
So the last thing he tells the
investigator.
Yeah, I'm trying to read his other statements here because it's a whole lot of statements that he made.
Yeah, it's okay.
But the one about his dream ends with him telling the polygrapher that he didn't make it up. That he saw it taking place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that... To the law enforcement after the murders. Just the statements to law enforcement after the murders. This is what he says after the murders.
Okay.
So this is the what I just read was his dream.
His dream.
And that's what he was telling that investigator, that Doug Thomas.
Yeah.
But this is what he said after the murders had happened. He said that he heard a noise and that he woke up. He went to go to the door and looked and to the living room.
Yeah.
And that he saw that Sue was lying on the sofa and that the two men that he described earlier in the thing were standing in the middle of the room.
Okay.
And that he saw John and Dana had came home and that they entered through the front door. So I'm guessing the front door is, like I said, I guess what we thought was the back area, I think that's more the front area.
Okay.
Okay, so that they saw him come through the front door. He said that he saw John arguing with the two men and that a fight had broken out. And that Dana had tried to get away, and he was going towards the kitchen when a brown-haired man struck him with a hammer. So I'm thinking that maybe when he saw him, that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking when he saw him walking all weird, it's because he got hit in the head.
It was dazed.
So your head's all of course, I mean, he get hammer in the head, but I'm just assuming.
Yeah.
You know?
You'll be dazed.
And at this point... Sue is still alive because she said that when Sue had rushed to John's side and that Justin at this time had returned to the room and hid behind the door. And then he said that, well, see, if he hid behind the door, then how did he know the suspects tied up Johnny and Dana at that point? That's what he said. He said that when he saw Sue go to John's aid, he went to his room and hid behind the door. And then he says the suspects then tied up Johnny and Dana. And then he said that Tina came out of her room with a blanket and was asking him what's going on. Oh, no, was asking what's going on. And that he said that the two guys went to Tina, grabbed her, and dragged her out to the back door as she was crying for help. And he said that later on, the brown-haired guy returns and covers up Sue with the blanket.
Oh, so Tina was already there.
Yeah, Tina was there. That's what they said. Going on, it woke her up, too.
So she was already asleep.
So I think maybe when she probably heard John arguing or all that scuffles, she probably went to see what's happening.
Yeah.
So that's another witness,
Yeah.
So I guess he grabbed her, and he said that.
So that debunks her theory about her just walking in.
To see, because he's saying they did see her, and then he goes on to say that He told his mom that someone had a sweatsuit on and that Johnny's hands were tied and there was blood all over his face. He talked about the TV, and then he said that Johnny and Dana came in at midnight.
Oh.
See, there's the timeline. They came in at midnight. And that he said that Sue was cut in the middle of her chest by a black-haired man using a pocket knife. But they found a kitchen knife, right? Yeah. A steak knife?
Yeah.
In his dream, he ran down to Mrs. Sharp because she had a cut on her chest and that he had taken a rag and put it on her chest. That was in his dream.
Yeah.
And then he said that when he went back to bed and covered himself, that he fell asleep for about an hour. And that's where it leaves off.
Okay. So that debunked our
timeline. Well, yeah. But has anyone talked to him since then?
I don't think so.
Maybe they tried putting him under hypnosis or something like that to see if he can.
Hypnosis?
There you go. Whatever. Mr. Smarty Pants over here. Whatever. You know what I was trying to get at? But I don't know why he associated with the boat, though, and them getting in his dream.
I don't know. I'm confused by that. Maybe they would think he did.
He's not getting his own control. He
doesn't want to admit to being a witness?
Maybe that, okay. Too.
And the previous statements before the one in his dreams, mm-hmm. He said that there is the man, that a man had said her name, Sue. He had brown hair past his ears halfway and curly at the end. He had the same kind of glasses as the other man and same kind of clothes. That he wore army boots, green like a hunting boot, a hiking boot with a waffle stomper type sole. That man had used the knife on Johnny, and that was about it. Okay. Oh, about the TV, because they were saying that Johnny and Dana touched the wall by the TV while they were fighting.
Was there a bloody print on the wall?
You see. That, I'm not sure.
Because they said she touched the wall, right?
Yeah, they were saying that Dana and Johnny had touched the wall by the TV while they were fighting.
They touched the wall.
Yeah. Maybe.
I thought you said Sue.
No.
Sorry.
No, because I don't know. I think Sue was more or less, they were going to do something real bad to Sue. She was laying on the couch and stuff. You know what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah.
So maybe they were in the process of doing all that when Johnny came home.
Yep.
And that's why the fight started, because maybe, how sad, maybe they were in the process of actually doing it, like raping her or something like that, when the boys came home. And that's why, the fight broke out and whatever. Because
true. Yeah, they walked in.
Yeah.
That was very interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's many theories.
Mm-hmm. That dream part, that's like, was weird to me.
Well, yeah.
Maybe because he didn't want to be a witness. Maybe he didn't want to be like what Ben said. What did you say, Ben?
He didn't want to admit that he saw what happened.
Yeah. Or he would have to.
Or maybe, if his dad was involved, maybe he was even telling them a wrong description.
Yeah.
Well, look.
Trying to throw them off.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, because look.
That's true.
This guy over here is saying that his claw hammer was missing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I found another article here on Google, right? They're describing the murders. And they had said that the victims were bound with electrical wire and medical tape, and they had all been beaten with a claw hammer and knife.
Yes. There's a claw hammer.
His tool was missing, right away, because, like...
He wouldn't be a suspect if he would have mentioned that.
Because they were also saying that the reason why they were questioning him, well, not only because his son was there, but because supposedly him, his friend, Sue, and the wife had all gone out to some bar nearby.
Mm.
And that I think that's why, I think maybe Sheila was the one that was watching the kids. Maybe that's why Tina didn't spend the night. I don't know why that area, but.
She was going to spend the night.
Yeah.
Tina went with Sheila. To the Seabolt's house.
Yeah.
So she just decided to go back home.
But she just wanted to go back home.
See, Justin was 12 years old when it all happened.
That was Greg weird. And
Rick. These are the ones that survived. Greg and Rick Sharp were 10 and 5. And they slept through it all. 12-year-old family friend Justin was there.
Okay.
And that was the age. He was 12. But see, now being 12 years old and witnessing... Maybe coming down and seeing what was going on, because he was saying that Sue was laying on the sofa. We can only imagine with two guys and her laying on the sofa.
What they were going to do.
What's happening or what's going on. So, I mean, being 12-year-old and seeing that and then seeing you know, the John and his friend coming over. And how old was John? John was like, what, 15?
I think so.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
15, 16.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, about the, I don't know where the TV was at. Like, I'm trying to see the crime photos here and on Google and, like, with the investigators.
In his later account of events, told under hypnosis, he claimed to have awoken to sounds coming from the living room while asleep in the bedroom with Rick and Greg.
So they did put him under hypnosis.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh.
So what woke him up?
He heard sounds.
Hey, did they ever describe how her ex looked like?
I don't know, but...
Investigating these sounds, he saw Sue with two men, one with a mustache and short hair, the other clean-shaven with long hair. Both wore glasses. According to Justin, John and Dana then entered the home and began heatedly arguing with the men. A fight ensued, after which Tina entered the room and was taken out of the cabin's back door by one of the men.
So, yeah, like we were saying, he entered, saw what was happening, and got into a scuffle.
Again.
And yeah, these guys probably thought it was already late at night, I'm pretty sure they knew she had kids.
Yeah.
So he probably assumed that they were already in bed.
True. He wasn't expecting the other two.
Exactly. I'm saying, like, they probably thought that they were not going to get busted with anything because they were all asleep.
Yeah.
So John came home and then... But that's the thing, like, when they started arguing with him, like, when he had said that they started, you know, he was... A heated... What argument broke out?
Yeah.
So it was either... They were doing something to Sue when they walked in.
Or they were arguing with her.
They were already arguing with her. And when they walked in and they argued back.
Maybe.
Or they knew who they were and they didn't like the guy. And that's what I was saying about her ex-husband. How did they ever describe how her ex-husband looked like?
I don't know.
You know, well, yeah, because I thought well, maybe her ex-husband might have shown up. Because he was abusive, you know, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe he showed up with some other guy that resembled the smart dude in a way. Because he never once said, yeah, that was my dad, right? He was just describing how the guy looked like, and it just turned out to kind of look like his dad.
But again, would he throw his dad under the bus?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, depends on how close they were.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know? But at that time, too, you're 12 years old. You're seeing your dad doing something you're not supposed to. Maybe you just kind of, like, lock it out a little bit, and you kind of, like, describe him in a way, but...
Not in the same...
Not like, you know, like, it's my dad.
Do what he was doing.
What he was doing.
Throw off different clues.
Yeah. So, but I'm wondering, and maybe the ex-husband and some other guy that resembled that Martin Smart guy?
It could be.
And maybe that's why John got so mad and they started arguing?
Maybe the ex-husband has an alibi or had an alibi.
I don't know. Because I don't even know how good these cops were in investigating the whole thing to begin with.
Yeah, it's true.
So, I mean, you know what I'm trying to get at, though? Yep. Maybe they might have just let that slip, you know?
Right, yeah.
We're not going to interview because how's he
going to... He was over there.
Because, look, if a green van was parked there, that means they're stalking.
Yeah. Or someone was in there.
Someone was there, but at night. And I don't know. I know somewhere, and I know I read it in either on Google or somewhere, where the wife was saying of Martin Smart that they had all gone out. It was her, Sue, the husband, and the husband's friend.
Yeah.
And they had all gone out to some bar. But she took off home early because she needed to be home with the kids. But I don't know what time she left, though.
Oh, I see.
You know, so she left before they did.
Yeah.
See how it gets real, like...
What's it?
Do rabbit holes.
Yeah. It's weird.
Weird.
Yeah, the husband could have still been involved. It could have been, like, hired guns or something.
True. Yeah, because that's what I was thinking, too. Like, because they never really talked about how anyone really felt about her there. And you're like, you know what I'm trying to get at? Like, you investigate, you start talking like, well, how is she as a person?
Yeah.
Like, no one did that to say, like, oh, we hated her. She was a bitch. She was real. She see the way she
was. There was no negative.
Yeah, like, you know, she was flirting with all these guys. She didn't care, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I get from it, was trying to say, like, I think from what I heard that the friend was trying to hook up with her. And to begin with, that friend wasn't a good guy to begin with. I think he had, like, shady background, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I can't find anywhere in the crime scene photos... Of a TV.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's some crime scene photos in here. Have you all seen the crime scene photos?
I've seen the body.
You seen the body?
I think it's hers.
I think I saw...
But they blur her face, though.
It was gross.
Kind of bloody.
Gross. Based on Justin's descriptions, composite sketches of the two unknown men were produced by Harlan Embry, a man with no artistic ability and no training in forensic sketching.
Is that why these kids came out looking all weird?
Yeah.
Oh my god, they have no experience for nothing. That's what these cops hired to do it?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
This is terrible.
Oh my god. I know. This guy had no experience, and these people actually hired him to do it?
They got him on the streets. Hey, can you draw a head? Can I drew a little bit in school?
Did they put an ad out? Hey, we need some sketch out of. That's. I would have been like, what's this? This looks like a stick figure. Because that's what it looks like, right?
A man with no artistic ability.
That's sad.
That's so sad.
It was never explained why, with access to the Justice Department's and the Federal Bureau of Investigation's top forensic artists, law enforcement chose to use an amateur who sometimes volunteered to help local police.
I don't know why they would. That's just terrible.
But when do the law enforcement actually start bringing in the FBI, though?
When they can't handle it?
Or, I think so.
Yeah, when they can't handle it? Or handle it's,
it yeah.
So
when they need help, yeah.
And they, do they ever?
Yeah, I could. I wonder if there's like a time limit you can ask them.
Well, that's what I'm gonna say. Like, do they ever get a hold of the FBI to say like, we have some of
these? I think so. Eventually,
like they just 20 years.
They
later,
feel like they were doing a good job.
They're all done.
Man, an amateur can look at those pictures and see that they were doing a good job.
They're terrible.
Maybe because maybe that was their first murder. Not good. First murder, but like.
My first major one?
Major one.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure, like, murders happen.
Yeah.
Like, you know, husband shoots his wife or whatever, like, but, like, something like.
Like this?
Like this?
Yeah.
At this level?
I don't think so.
So, but I didn't even know how to. At that point, if I was the chief of police or whatever, I would have been like, nah, dude.
Call the FBI.
We don't have the manpower. We don't have the tools.
True.
Nobody go inside. Oh, my God. Except for that guy who went inside to get the kids,
Yeah, he had an excuse though.
Yeah.
In press releases accompanying the sketches, the suspects were described as being in their late 20s to early 30s. One stood between 5 feet 11 inches to 6 feet 2 inches tall with dark blonde hair, and the other between 5 feet 6 inches and 5 feet 10 inches with black greased hair. Both wore gold-framed sunglasses. Rumors regarding the crimes being ritualistic or motivated by drug trafficking were dismissed by Plumas County Sheriff Doug Thomas, who stated in the week following the murders that no drug paraphernalia or illegal drugs were found in the home.
So they weren't doing drugs?
No. And it was not ritualistic.
So no cult?
No cult. So back then it was a satanic panic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, this was way before the
no devil.
The West Memphis 3, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, did you ever all hear about that one guy who I think he sacrificed, I don't know if it was his friend. It was back in the 80s, I think.
Uh-huh.
But I think they made a movie out of it, too. But he sacrificed, I don't know if it was his friend or his girlfriend, out in the woods. But he went to school after he did it. He mm-hmm. went to school the next day and started telling people about it and, like, mm-hmm. He literally was able, I don't know if he had people pay or what, but he got people to go where he did it.
Uh-huh.
And they had said it was for like satanic reasons.
That's sick.
Very.
Carla McMullen, a family acquaintance, later told detectives that Dana Wingate had recently stolen an unknown quantity of LSD from local drug dealers, though she was unable to provide proof of this claim.
Yeah, so she was just
going by hearsay?
I guess so. It could be the drug dealers.
But see, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, it's like how it's like the old saying, there's no smoke unless there's some kind of fire.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to get at? So, I mean, these are young guys. Let's face it. You know, there's some
yeah,
going to fucking do their shit, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, who knows? I mean, because to begin with, no one really described how these people were individually to say, like, their background on who they were.
Yes.
Just to get a glimpse to say, like, okay, well, maybe it was drug-related.
Yeah.
But a family acquaintance, well, how close was she to the family to begin with? Was an acquaintance, like, she goes and hangs out with them?
There wasn't drugs on the scene.
There wasn't, right?
Yeah.
No.
But, see, unless he sold them.
Right, or he doesn't.
Or he left them somewhere else. True. And they just assume it was this guy's house because they were always together.
Yeah.
Where you see Dana, you see John. You know, maybe it's over there or just trying to scare him. And maybe the mom didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
And then that's why the... Who knows?
Yeah,
and maybe they grabbed Tina for...
Yeah, but
poor Tina. We don't even know what happened to poor Tina. No one knew what happened to her, what she went through, other than that. They discovered her body.
About 4,000 man hours were spent working the case, which Thomas described as frustrating. In December 1983, detectives ruled out serial killers Henry Lee Lucas and Otis Toole as potential suspects.
But Henry Lee Lucas, who was his target? That's not the guy who had a lake house with that other dude, and
Inner Lake.
There you go.
Charles Ninger.
And Otis Toole, who was his target?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The serial killers, Henry Lee Lucas.
Who did they kill?
Yeah, who were they after? Would they go after like girls like Sue?
Oh.
Or they would just kill anybody or
just random.
Random people. Was it real bad? So they were real bad around that time?
Not in that area, I guess.
Were they in that area though?
I would be frustrated too if that was that sheriff.
Man.
Hiring that the police sketch guy?
I know, that was that. Yeah, I was looking at that sketch. Now that I think about it, when I was looking at the sketch on the thing, right? I was like, I couldn't even tell from the what the hell they were trying to sketch.
Now on to the recovery of Tina Sharp's remains.
Tina's disappearance was initially investigated by the FBI as a possible abduction, though it was reported on April 29, 1981, that the FBI had backed off the search as the California State Department of Justice was doing an adequate job and made the FBI's presence unnecessary.
I beg to differ.
I beg to differ as well.
Oh, dude. Yeah, like an FBI would actually say that, right?
What?
Would they actually say like that they're going to back off because the State Department of Justice was doing such a great job?
Yeah, right.
I know. I wonder if the FBI, like when they heard that, if they were like, we never said that shit.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even do that. We would go. I would like to think that they would go and investigate.
Right.
And be like, well, let me go and see how it is.
Yeah.
And if I feel like you all had it, we'll let you all have it.
Yeah.
But
looking at those sketches, they never had it.
I know. You would think they would look and be like, no, y'all don't have it. Because let's face it, Tina had to be, I mean, she wasn't there.
Yep.
She was, her body was nowhere near.
Yeah.
So first, they would have to have known she was
missing,
that she was abducted.
A grid pattern search of the area covering a 5-mile radius around the house was conducted with police canines, but the efforts were fruitless.
So they searched around the house. A 5-mile radius.
They didn't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing at all.
They only went 5 miles, though?
I guess
Why would you only do 5 miles?
Yeah, like, why don't you go and scourge the whole wooded area?
True.
Like, because, look.
Unless they figured she was out of that
area. We've all seen when they're looking for missing persons, right?
Yes.
And we've seen where it's a, I don't know if they're, well, because we've seen that, how it is.
Yes.
So, of course, they had to be wooded areas surrounding the whole cabins, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so you see where they're scouring, like, the whole... They have people line up from here to here, and they're looking the whole...
Yeah.
They guess that they only went 5 miles. Bullshit. The cops didn't want to do their job.
Or the searchers.
The searchers.
On April 22nd, 1984, 3 years and 11 days after the murders, a bottle collector discovered the cranium portion of a human skull and a part of a mandible at Camp 18 near Feather Falls in neighboring Butte County, a distance of roughly 100 miles from Kitty.
Wow.
100 miles. And then you're only looking 5 miles.
Exactly. See?
They're not going to walk 100 miles, guys.
Well, I'm saying...
We'll make the radius bigger.
They need to...
You want them to walk 100 miles
but they
in
needed,
the search.
Man, so they... So the
they didn't know where they were.
200.
And they didn't find her remains until 1984.
That's sad.
And you know what's even more sad is that no one knew what this poor girl went through.
Right.
If she was even held captive for a little bit longer than she needed to.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Or was she killed instantly?
Or they killed her instantly. Because my whole thing is just this. Look, you're killing everyone there and leaving their bodies there. So why are you taking Tina with you?
Her? Yeah. They probably did stuff to her.
They already did stuff to her, poor thing.
Yeah.
And no one's going to know because by the time they found her body, because they had to only do 5 miles... They couldn't go an extra
Well, in their defense, would you walk 100 miles?
Look, I'm just saying, 5 miles a day?
Well, I don't know how long. I mean, it sounds weird, I guess.
It does, because it's kind of like, why are you only going to have that? Why are you just not going to broaden it a little bit on where she might be? I get True. Where you might think it's going to be. It has to be in that area because that's where her brother and her mom, you know, was murdered at.
Mm-hmm.
But you're only going to search so much.
Yeah.
That's when you let the FBI handle it.
True, you're right.
You know? And that's why I'm just kind of worried about people who investigate. It's like those murders that happened here in Harlingen. Nobody knows what happened. No one's been caught. Well, the one that the worker, the 19-year-old from McDonald's.
No one
knows who did it and how did she die again? They never described how they just found her remains there, right? Yeah. And then the one that got shot too.
Yeah.
Staying indoors.
Didn't one get killed this past week?
I don't know.
The sheriff was investigating.
Really?
Yeah. Somewhere like by Best Boulevard.
Oh, it was that 18-year-old?
Yeah.
He got shot, right?
Yeah.
They had taken him to the... Oh, because his cops taking... Because his friends took him to the police station, right?
Yeah, because
they got shot. See? And no one knows who did that. Wait, did they shoot him in the car, though? Or was it...
I think they were in the car.
They were in the car when...
Yeah. And they come... And now that they went to the police station, I think they saw a cop.
And they pulled him over?
Yeah.
Oh.
And told him that he had his family shot.
Kelly said she went to school with that guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she had a class with him. Mm. She said that's the second guy that she had a class with where they both got murdered.
Well, remember there was a kid that stabbed some girl? I think it was a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was in a class with him.
Really?
Yeah.
Bunch of little delinquent murderers.
Well, I'm telling you.
Shortly after announcing the discovery, the Butte County Sheriff's Office received an anonymous call that identified the remains as belonging to Tina, but the call was not documented in the case. The anonymous caller asked, "I was wondering if they thought of the murder up in Plumas County a couple years ago where a 12-year-old girl was never found."
Maybe he was the murderer.
Yeah, I think so.
Because why would you go and assume it was the 12-year-old Tina from the Camp Kitty? Yeah. And that's already been what... That's already going on 3 years of it happening?
Yep.
Oh, I bet they kept her, dude. I bet they
did stuff.
Had her for a couple of years.
Maybe. It was just...
Oh, or unless they murdered her that night. But I don't understand why driving her 100 miles away from
it doesn't make sense.
I'm wondering if maybe she was the target instead of the mom. The mom just so happened to be in the way. I don't know.
Because
I'm not understanding why they
would take her away.
Take her.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're hitting everyone with a hammer right then and there, why not including her?
True. And it's not just because she's a little girl, because they killed her later on.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, I'm trying to get at so I'm wondering.
Maybe she was a target.
Maybe she was the target. Maybe it's, creepy dude has seen her walking back and forth and.
Or maybe she took off running.
Maybe they just took her by chance. Maybe they were like pedos.
And maybe, you know what though? Maybe they kind of kept her because they didn't want her to open her mouth because she literally saw who it was.
True, she was the witness.
She was the witness. She clearly saw. They didn't see see Justin.
Yeah.
Justin must have been hiding really, really well.
Yeah.
Because why didn't nothing happen to him?
Yeah.
Because he saw what was going on and hid right away.
Yeah.
And instead of warning her to go back or anything, she just so happened to walk in and was just like, well, what's going on? Maybe she just heard John and she thought John and the mom were fighting.
True.
So that's why she was just like, well, what's going on? And that's when
they took her.
All hell broke loose and they took her. And they just kind of held her captive. Maybe I would like, but I'm leaning towards no, that they didn't do anything to her. I'm pretty sure they did.
Yeah.
But
a recording of this call was found at the bottom of an evidence box at some point after 2013 by a deputy who was assigned the case.
So they just put the recording away? Who are these cops?
I have no idea.
Or sheriffs, wherever they are.
The remains were confirmed by a forensic pathologist to be those of Tina in June 1984. With the remains of Tina Sharp found, the crimes committed on April 11th or 12th, 1981 became a quadruple homicide. Near the remains, detectives also discovered a blue nylon jacket, a blanket, a pair of Levi Strauss jeans with a missing back pocket, and an empty medical tape dispenser.
Well, there's that medical tape.
Okay, and then she had a blanket with her, right? That's what Justin was saying?
I think so.
So the blanket must have been hers, but she couldn't be wearing a jacket, obviously. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, because I wear my sweaters inside my apartment because it gets cold.
True.
So maybe, I don't know how the AC units worked there and back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Because they keep calling it a resort. That's what I'm saying. That's why I kept thinking that they were, like, on a camping trip or something. That's why, you know, they're on vacation.
It's more than likely a campsite.
That you can live there year-round also?
Yeah.
Right? So you have your regulars that live there, but then you also have your visitors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least it was once a resort like that.
Who?
I think it was a resort like that.
Right.
Where you can go vacation there.
Yeah.
But I think at that time they weren't... I don't think they were meant for vacationers at that time.
So at that time it was just meant for like, just to go and live there?
People who had low income, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I get it.
What's next?
In a 2008 documentary on the murders, Marilyn Smart claimed that she suspected her husband, Martin, and his friend, John Boubide, were responsible for the murders. Marilyn claimed that on the evening of April 11, 1981, she had left Martin and Boubide at a local bar around 11 p.m. and returned home to go to sleep. Around 2 a.m. on April 12, she stated that she woke to find the two burning an unknown item in the wood stove.
Okay, but what could they be burning on a wood stove that's gonna claim that they were the
suspects?
Yeah, the suspects. Because let's face it, what can you actually be burning? Did they write notes to each other saying what they had planned? So they need to go burn it?
Their clothes, maybe?
Bloodstained clothes?
Yeah.
But on a stove? Wouldn't it be more in an oven?
Well, maybe it was in the outside. Maybe those outside stoves, you know?
Well, what's a wood stove?
It's just where you put wood.
I think right there.
Yeah, there's clothes.
Maybe their clothes.
Yeah.
Their shirts.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been real nosy. I'd be like, why y'all don't have your shirts on? What are y'all pervs doing? Y'all lovers or what?
It's 2022.
I know, but back then in the 80s.
Love is love, guys.
Love is love, but like in the 80s, it was hard for everyone. No, but seriously, like, well, no, because wouldn't you be questioning why they didn't have their shirts on? If they were burning something?
Not really that, but what are they burning? It's the most important question.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, what could they possibly, other than your clothes? Yes.
Yeah.
But... because she, I thought I read somewhere also that she had saw, like, that she was saying it was a piece of paper that he was burning.
Well, maybe.
But, like, if it was a piece of paper, but what could be burning on the, why would
you use a big old wood stove to burn a piece of paper?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. That's what I'm saying. That's, like, I'm all confused because in another article, she was saying that
it was a paper.
It was a paper that.
Or papers, maybe.
Because she had found, like. A burned paper or something like that. Mm. Well, that's what I read.
So. Well, maybe it was in the clothes.
Additionally, she alleged that Martin hated Johnny Sharp with a passion.
Who had the most overkill? Was it him? Or was it the mom or Dana?
I thought it was her.
The mom had more of an overkill?
I thought it was Sue.
Right?
However, in the 2008 documentary, Sheriff Doug Thomas said he had personally interviewed Martin and he had passed a polygraph examination.
Well, like I said, anybody can pass it. Polygraph.
People don't have to pass one.
I've heard that it's easy to pass them. That if you're real chilled and real consistent with your answers, then just you can make them to where you just wrote, like, you can pass it.
Yes. So they shouldn't use that. Like, the only thing that to investigate.
And let's see. It's easy to pass one, but can you pass another one, though? Like, can you be so good at passing them till you can have so many that you keep passing?
Depends on they use different questions.
That's what I'm saying. Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, let's say, okay, he passed this one because, let's say he's practicing, you know, like being raw. And then just give him a few weeks and just be like, hey, dude, I need for you to come in and take another one.
Well,
we found evidence, whatever.
That'd be kind of hard. Yeah.
You know, and just be like, but we need you to come in right now. You know, we're not going to give you a day or two.
Yeah.
We found new evidence.
Mm-hmm.
I would lie. I mean, they were doing a crappy job doing the investigation anyway.
You'll catch your lie.
Huh?
Want to catch your lie?
No, I said me as a cop will lie to get him over there to do another one just out of the blue.
Yeah.
Get your ass over there. I'm taking you right now.
True.
I bet he'll fuck up then.
Maybe.
According to a 2016 article published by Sacramento Bee, Martin had left Kitty and driven to Reno, Nevada shortly after the murders. From there, he sent a letter to Marilyn ruminating on personal struggles in their marriage, which he concluded with, I paid the price of your love, and now I bought it with four people's lives. You tell me we are through. Great. What else do you want?
Now.
That's not a guilt.
If that's not guilt,
what is it?
I know. Well, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, how can they not know that it is him?
Yeah.
Well, let's just say Because Sue was a very pretty woman. I haven't seen a picture of this dude's wife.
Yeah.
She's a very pretty woman back in the day.
Yeah.
She was very attractive, right?
Yeah.
But let's just say, okay, she was close to the wife, right?
Okay.
Maybe the wife started seeing the way Martin was looking at her. Maybe they got along great. And maybe he hated Johnny because Johnny see how he was being a dog with his mom in front of the wife. You know what I'm trying to get at?
True.
Okay. So maybe he did kill her out of crime because maybe the wife had a problem with her.
So the wife
wanted to get rid of the competition.
The wife ordered him to kill her?
Well, it says, I paid the price of your love and now I bought it with four people's lives.
Oh. Well, maybe he thought he was doing it for her.
But why would he kill her on... Why would he do it on his own? She would have to be like...
Well, that's true. I see what you're saying, though.
You see what I'm trying to get at? Yeah, like, she probably saw her as a competition. And let me tell you guys, us females, we can be real snakes, man.
You're weird.
We are. I'm not going to lie. We are. We have more frenemies than actual friends. You know what I'm trying to get at?
Yes.
So, I mean, like, it's known to happen. There's that one case where, I guess they did a Lifetime movie on it. It was this guy, and I don't know if they were both in the Marines or just the girlfriend was in the Marines.
Okay.
But while she was doing her leave, he got close to another, some girl. I don't know at this time if they were still in school or not.
Yeah.
This has happened, I want to say, like late 80s, maybe early 90s. And I don't know if they were in school and that's how he met her. But he would, while the girl was out on leave, well, he was hanging out with this chick, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she got wind of it, and she ordered him to kill the girl. She was there when it happened. She was in the back seat.
Yeah.
So what happened was that he got the girl to go with him down the canal somewhere, and when they were talking or whatever, and I think she had just found out that he had a girlfriend all along.
Yeah.
And I think she bent down to pick up something, or I forgot how it happened, but the girlfriend of his popped up from the back and got her in the hammer and killed her.
Mm.
I think her last name was Samora, the girl who did it.
I see.
But you see, it can happen.
True. But weren't they friends?
Frenemies, telling you. You can be chill. That's
right. You're right.
I'm trying to get at? Like, you can be cool with some girl, but once you start seeing, like, my dude's looking her a certain way, and her and my dude are doing this, like, you know, it's what the hell's going on? And it could be like nothing's going on. I mean, there are girls who can be friends with guys with nothing going on between them.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just how sometimes how it comes off, people just assume, you know, that things are going on.
Yeah.
So maybe she was just kind of like, hey, look, I'm getting tired of you looking at her like this. Like,
that's true.
I want her gone.
She could have been jealous.
Type. Yeah, the jealous type. Either you kill her or I'm going to do it.
Yeah, he did.
And he did it. Because, I mean.
Yeah, it's true.
And
well,
he was
it's
already,
possible.
Possible.
That's possible.
I mean, look, he was already throwing himself under the bus by saying his claw hammer was unless it was the wife and some other person. And maybe that way that's why the claw hammer was missing from his toolbox.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
We never know.
Yeah.
A girl can be just as easily overkill like that.
Can be overpowered like two.
Well, that's
boys?
Why a guy was there. I don't know.
I think that's forfeit.
Well, either way, but maybe she had him do it, though.
Yeah, that's possible. That's possible.
Maybe that's why they were at the bar. She left him there to discuss it. She was just like, maybe that's what we're discussing. Like, you're all going to do this. I want her gone.
True.
Just saying.
In a 2016 interview, Plumas County Special Investigator Mike Gamberg stated that the litter was overlooked in the initial investigation and never admitted it as evidence.
What the heck? What was going on?
Okay, so in 2016, and they admitted that they overlooked that letter.
This new guy, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So let's just say, since it's already been so many years, and say the guy's still alive at that time, can they go back and question him?
Yeah.
Well,
When did he die? That's what I'm saying.
We'll get to that later.
But was it before 2016 that he died, or was it after 2016?
Let me see. It was in 2000.
When he passed?
Yeah.
So either way, they were screwed. They couldn't go. Well, no, I'm just saying.
No,
like,
I know what you're saying. Anyway.
Like, well, let's just say, for instance, if they didn't have found it in 2016, and they had found it while he was still alive.
Yeah.
were they able to be able, like, okay, we need to re-question you because what was this about? You
well,
this
yeah, to your... I think so.
But now, without now, having a warrant, or
they can't do it if he went to court and was acquitted.
Okay.
Now that's when they can.
That's when they can. But since they hadn't made an arrest and he hadn't gone to court, and they hadn't made a decision on it. Mm-hmm. So.
And what if murder doesn't have a what? Oh, what's that word for time limit?
Oh, it's a statute of limitations or something like that?
Yeah.
See, but I know my legal terms.
Yeah. I mean, but man, these cops must have been like inexperienced or something.
They must have been like Barney Fife, big time. Yeah, I mean, this
is terrible.
How do
so
you,
many mistakes?
Maybe someone in the department knew him.
Cover up.
Yeah, I heard so. Me and Mike heard something.
What?
About the way they kept the evidence.
Oh.
About how the evidence was run.
How would they keep it?
For example, evidence was put into a freezer that was turned off.
Why would they
that? That would include, like, their bloodstained clothes.
DNA.
Anything that they would get from swabs.
Yeah.
Evidence was not kept in an organized way. Some of the items in the house were not entered into evidence. Evidence was contaminated.
Okay, but that could be due because of the neighbor, right? Because the neighbor said that he went in.
Possibly.
And, yeah, and when he saw what happened, he went and the stairs in the back. I never understood what he meant by that. Yeah. Through the window in the back when I was just kind of like, what is he talking about? The hell is he talking about? But, okay. Yeah, so that's just where the bedroom must have been, though.
Yeah.
Where the stairs are at. Though maybe that's why they had, ways to go out through their rooms. They had back doors in their rooms. And maybe that's why they have that stairs. So maybe in the upstairs, they can go out through the room there in the back.
True.
And go down the stairs. Just like.
But the FBI left them alone because they were doing an adequate job.
They were doing such a great job. The FBI had to leave them alone.
But then they were investigating the January 16th. Idiots.
I know.
He later criticized the quality of the initial investigation, saying, you could take someone just coming out of the academy and they'd have done a better job.
He's not wrong.
He's not.
Yeah, I know. It's true.
In 2016... Gamberg met with a counselor at the Reno Veterans Administration. The anonymous counselor told him that in May 1981, Martin Smart had confessed to killing Sue and Tina Sharp. I killed a woman and her daughter, but I didn't have anything to do with the boys.
So he did confess to it?
To a counselor, yeah, like a therapist. Allegedly.
He also allegedly told the counselor that Tina was killed to prevent her from identifying him, as she had witnessed the whole thing.
But why take her so far away?
Yeah, why did they have to take her? Why not just kill her there with everybody else?
Yeah.
See, that's where I get all lost, too. Because it's true. It's like, why would you...
What's true?
About having to take her. Because why not just kill her there with everyone else?
Yeah.
Because he made it seem like he killed her right then and there, too. But, like, he failed to mention that they took her 100 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
And...
When the DOJ was alerted to this confession in 1981, they dismissed it as hearsay.
What?
Probably because of the... therapist.
Oh, the
what they call
doctor, it? Doctor-patient confidential or something like that. Confidentiality or whatever.
And because, I heard about that. Because he's talking about a past crime.
That he might have been talking about a past crime?
The therapist could only inform cops if he was going to do a future crime.
If he admitted to her, like, I have this urge to go kill somebody.
Yeah.
And that's when they can do it. But that's if he admitted to something that he did.
In the past, I don't think they can.
They can't really use it because.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm starting to think that maybe they didn't know what to do with Tina. And maybe they took her so far away just to kind of, like, decide what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And then maybe they just decided just to kill her right then and there. And they just.
Took her. Yeah. Buried her.
Buried her there or did whatever they.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, you're right.
Because I wouldn't... Because we'll already keep her for so long and then decide to kill her.
Fridge? But, like, even that...
No, I mean, like, even if we had thought that maybe he kept her alive for those 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, where would he keep her,
though? Maybe that Bobaday's house or...
But didn't he live in that area, too? There in the cabins?
Oh, I don't know.
I thought he did.
Well, maybe.
I have to see. I thought that... Oh, or maybe not. I thought he did on the way.
Martin Smart died of cancer in Portland, Oregon in June 2000. John Bobaday, who allegedly had ties to organized crime in Chicago, died there in 1988.
So he was taking mob ties?
Yes, so. The outfit.
The outfit.
On March 24, 2016, a hammer matching the description of the hammer Martin claimed to have lost was discovered in a local pond and taken into evidence by Mike Gamber.
So they found a hammer? Or a hammer?
That hammer. A hammer, but...
In a pond.
In the pond.
Can they determine how long it was in the pond?
I have no idea. I don't know how they do that when they get evidence like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I don't know. In the picture, it looks all rusted and all that. Mm-hmm. See, I don't know if they're allowed to clean it off.
Right.
Or they have to leave it like that.
Probably leave it like that.
But the knife that they found also, or the knife that they have in there, doesn't look like the knife that they took in the picture. There is a, if you Google the Camp Kitty.
Then what else?
Because it doesn't look bit.
Yeah.
It's
all straight.
It looks all straight. That's why I was just kind of like, well, did they...
Maybe they had two knives?
Did he use two knives? What I like to know, though, is why there's a mattress... Oh, no, that's the sofa thingy, right? That's part of the sofa couch in the image?
I think so.
So, like, did they pull out the couches and had her lay there? Or while the struggle, the couches came off?
Well, that could be it.
Right?
They were wrestling in the... Matches fell off. Not the matches, the pit, the sofa cushions.
Plumas County Sheriff Hagwood, who was 16 years old at the time of the murders and knew the Sharp family personally, stated the location it was found it would have been intentionally put there. It would not have been accidentally misplaced.
Oh, yeah. How do you accidentally put a hammer in the pond?
Oh, yeah. You're not going to be doing any kind of work around the pond.
Course, I mean, unless you're like building a deck. Use guns to kill somebody, throws it in the river,
yeah.
Hoping it wouldn't be found.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're making a fishing boat.
Or a deck, but...
Making a fishing boat in the pond?
Water?
Oh,
man, that's what the wife used to do.
In the water?
Outside. They're outside. Gamberg also stated that at the time, six potential suspects were being examined.
Hmm.
So it was Smart and that friend of his.
Yep.
And then possible drug related.
Yeah, that lady, yeah.
But they never discussed the other four suspects, just them two.
Yeah, there's the main ones.
In April 2018, Gamberg stated that DNA evidence recovered from a piece of tape at the crime scene matched that of a known living suspect. In April 2018, Gamberg stated that DNA evidence recovered from a piece of tape at the crime scene matched that of a known living suspect.
Who else is it? Oh, they both died, right?
They're both dead.
Yep. They're both dead. So, I'm wondering...
Maybe it was the lady.
I'm telling you.
His wife.
I'm telling you.
Maybe.
You have to... Sometimes you have to think outside the box. Sometimes I know my idea seems far-fetched.
It's a little far-fetched.
It's a little far-fetched, but yes. But hey.
Well, just because they were, maybe she handed it to him. Maybe he asked for it and she gave it.
Maybe she was...
But wait. Would that have... Okay, time out.
It's easy. You know how easy it is to coerce a kid to talk to how you want them to say what you want them to say?
Yeah, but okay. It didn't say which living person.
No.
Maybe it was where they get the tape. Was it inside the house? Or did they bring the tape with them?
There would have to be a lot of tape if all of them had it. Mind you, three. We all know how small those medical tapes are. You know, even the big ones, you still run out real quick.
Yeah.
So she would have to bring enough, or they would have to bring enough.
So you think they brought their own tape? So
they would have to bring their own, unless Sue had a shitload of them there.
Well, maybe. She had how many kids?
That's true, but you have to understand. But you also know your kids. How often do they if I had to have all that much medical tape, then that means one of my kids is very klutz.
But remember, back then the kids were rough. They played rough.
So rough.
Well, not really. They sit down and play on the video games.
Well, but most of the time you're not buying medical tape unless you actually need it.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they got cuts playing around outside.
But
they were in the woods.
So she used gauze tape more than she did Band-Aids.
I'm just trying to throw ideas.
No, I know what you mean though. Like she probably had it in there, but maybe she had. But I mean, how would they know she was gonna have enough medical tape though? And that's what I'm saying. She would have to have enough medical tape for it to be used in all three of them.
That's true.
Was it
true.
Both the hands and the feet that they used it on, or was it just the hands?
Maybe both. Yeah.
Because Ruben used to get them too. I had gotten them too when I had gotten cut on my thumb real bad.
And so you needed the whole...
I used gauze because no way in hell I was going to use no damn Band-Aid for that because I didn't want the sticky part to peel off and peel it open. It was a bad one.
I know. I'm
still have a scar on it. So, but even...
But I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. They could have brought their own. So I'm just trying to throw my ideas
here. I'm just trying to figure out who that living suspect could be, though. Right. That's the thing. And shame on them on not letting the not letting her living relatives know, you know, like who it could be, or even well, just
maybe
say
they
like probably,
maybe they don't know. I'm just maybe it was inside the house.
Right? It says here DNA evidence recovered from a piece of tape of the crime scene matched that of a known. Living suspect. So they know who it is.
Oh, it's a suspect.
It's a living suspect.
It's
a living
suspect. That's why we said the other two are dead.
So confused.
Yeah, it's a living suspect.
Oh.
They're still alive. So
okay, I was thinking maybe a kid touched the kid that survived.
No.
Maybe he touched the DNA in that tape
before and just kind of like, yeah, I know what you mean. And that's why that would maybe like the neighbor.
Yeah.
Went, like, I know what you mean. But
it's a suspect.
It's a suspect. Now why not go if you already knew who it is, how come not reopen the case all over again?
Yeah.
And start from the very beginning and rule out obviously Smart and his friend.
Yeah.
Because if it's someone that's still alive, obviously it's not them.
Yeah.
They're dead. Let's reopen up the case.
Give them a polygraph test. Yeah. Why is your DNA on this tape?
Where you start looking for them. See, my whole thing is that they had, what, four other suspects, too, other than them two?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it was one of them.
Of who?
One of those other suspects that they had.
Yeah.
That, you know? Because, look, they don't go into that green van too much.
Yeah.
That the people that saw that was by their thing. And if it was there at 9, and Justin didn't hear John come home until 12.
Yeah.
So maybe she had a visitor. Maybe Sue, she had quiet time.
Yeah.
Maybe. You know, she had the kids were asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Her daughter was spending the night. Her oldest is out.
Yeah.
So she had, you know, some guy come and hang out and he brought a friend because that's just how some guys are. Like, it's okay if I bring a friend. And
yeah.
Sheriff Thomas had resigned from the investigation 3 months in and took a job instead at the Sacramento DOJ.
Well, he should have been fired. I resigned.
Wait, Travis was the one in the beginning?
I think so.
Right?
I believe so. It's this Gamberg that's new.
Okay. So. Well, no, because I'm going back to where Justin was telling someone, a sheriff, about his dream, and I think it was that Thomas guy. Yeah, his name was Sheriff Doug Thomas. That's who he was talking with.
So he was the sheriff.
Yeah.
He was
That's
terrible.
Who he was telling his dream to, and then... He told his dream to Sheriff Thomas, but he was telling, I guess, regular law enforcement about the murders.
Yeah.
So
he took a job at the Sacramento DOJ?
Yeah.
Terrible.
See, the cops did such a horrible job. What she says next is one of the theories I had.
Okay, let's see.
Sheila Sharp went on to tell CBS Sacramento, in 2016, I was told the suspects were told to get out of town, so to me that means it was covered up. It was later confirmed that Martin was close with the sheriff.
See, they did such a horrible job.
That was one of
my theories.
Yeah, see? Now, maybe it wasn't so much just them two. Maybe there was an extra person there that just no one's talking about.
That's true. And they did leave, did they?
Yeah, they did.
Martin Smart, he left.
He did leave.
Yeah, he left a note with maybe he was trying to frame his wife with that note. Tried to put it all on her, like it was her idea.
Yeah.
She was the one who wanted me to get rid of her. She was jealous of her.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Maybe it was covered up.
And maybe there was a third person, maybe, because I'm still trying to figure out did they grab Tina? Because she went to see, like, who? Because look, if you're walking in and there's three people arguing with two people and you come and saying what's going on, then one guy's going to grab her and take her out and what? The other guy is going to do all the killing on three people?
No.
So there has to be an extra person there.
Well, that's the doctor in the car.
And they left her in the
car. Maybe they tied her up, maybe? And put her in the car.
She witnessed everything that happened. She saw all the killing.
Yeah.
And then
I don't know.
But I would think if they tied her up, they would cover her eyes, too, so she wouldn't see.
Well, she already saw what they... It was too late.
That's why they took her.
Yeah. It was too late, she saw.
So who's the living suspect, though?
There's a third one somewhere.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. There has to be three people there then. Because two of them are dead. The two main ones.
True.
So one went to Chicago and one, well, who knows where the other one went. He was just leaving town.
He went to Portland. Right. At first he went to Reno, right?
Yeah.
Nevada.
The house in which the murders occurred was demolished in 2004.
Oh, but you said they demolished the whole buildings there, right, Shirley?
Yeah, that's what they were saying, that they demolished. Because no one, after that, I think they had a hard time. Because that's why I'm saying that's why I had thought it was like a camp resort, like an actual camp resort. Because they were saying that after the murders, they had a hard time getting people to go over there.
Yeah.
And that's where they started talking about it being real haunted and having all that weird stuff going on, that they just knocked it down. Mm. So they just wind up knocking the whole resort down because they had literally said, like, after that, because the way it was handled and the fact that no one heard anything and they just went ahead and just demolished the whole thing. They weren't really bringing in the numbers. And then no one wanted to stay in that cabin.
Well, Just,
see?
Yeah.
They need to keep it on the hush-hush like they did in my apartments and not say where the guy got murdered at. I'm probably living in it right now.
Allegedly
got murdered. Nah, I believe they got murdered there. You don't know how many cops show up in that place.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
The other night, I think a couple of nights ago or a few weeks ago, Kelly said that she had woken up because it was like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And that she heard the cops a couple of doors down telling someone to get out of the house.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, I go, for real, Kelly? I go, you stayed there, Kelly? You didn't bother going to my room and being all like, hey.
I'm tired.
Someone, she's like, yeah, that's what she told me. She's like, I was tired. I went back to sleep. And I was like, oh my God. But I'm curious to know who that living suspect is. And I'm surprised they didn't, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm surprised.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
That I'm surprised they didn't, in 2018 when they found it, that they didn't. Big break and, you know, and it's off case, you know, there's one suspect that...
And they can't use the genealogy things that they're doing now?
Well, you think they would.
All right. They cut the ghost, they cut it with it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they had to have been three people, but they only saw two.
Maybe one was hiding out of sight, out of, like, view.
Unless he was the one who helped tie them up and he just left because he just didn't want any part of it and he just tied them up.
Mm-hmm.
Before he realized how far it was going.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they told him, like, I'm not, like, you know, trying to say, like, you know, do it any better. But, like, maybe he thought that they were just going to go have, you know.
Yeah.
Just tie him up. We're just going to scare him. And then maybe he saw that it wasn't going to go that far. And he was just like, he just took
off. I'm out of here.
I mean, it happens. Yeah. Like, in that case that I was telling you about, that girl that got murdered by her friends. And they had that one girl that was there. She was just there for S&G. She didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And when she saw what happened, she just took off. And it took her a while to say that it was them that killed the girl.
Yeah.
For the longest time, she just stayed quiet because they were threatening her. Yeah. So maybe it was in that case. Maybe it was just some little punk that was hanging out with them.
This was a disturbing case.
Very disturbing.
It was very disturbing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, guys. This is it for season one. Hope you all enjoyed.
We did.
The first couple episodes were rough. Sorry, people. We had bad equipment at first.
Hope you all enjoyed this episode of the Four True Crime Idiots Podcast. Please rate us on Apple Podcasts and please follow us, the Four True Crime Idiots Podcast, on all of our social media platforms. All of the links will be in the description. Until next season.
Beware of your surroundings.
Stay safe.
Stay vigilant.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hope you like the season.